Thanks for joining us for the Liberty Church Podcast. We pray that this message inspires you to change the world around you. For more information about Liberty Church, you can visit us at libertyofomaha.com. Thanks again for joining us, and have a great day. Let's just welcome the Holy Spirit to speak to us today. If you got a prayer language, you can start praying in it. Let's just ask the Lord to come. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to speak to us today. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that it is your tongue, it is your voice that brings revelation. There is no man, there is no system in place except for your word and your voice that brings the revelation of God. And we just ask for that today. We welcome your Holy Spirit to bring that to us, to change our hearts, to change our minds, to change who we are so that it aligns with you. Lord, right now we surrender ourselves to you, which means there's nothing that is in us or a part of us that we are going to hold on to today that's more important than who you are and who you've called us to be today. We take it off today and we put on what you have called us to be, Father. If you agree with that, say amen today. Amen, amen. If you got your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. I've got my 22-year-old Bible up here today, so I don't pull this out a lot. And I know some of you probably have older Bibles than that, but this is my, I got this when I graduated high school, and so it's an NIV, and it's a little rough, so I keep care of it. I don't use it a lot. But I wanted to read out of the NIV today because I believe it's specific to the translation of what we're talking about, what we're speaking about today. And the Holy Spirit has been stirring this message in me for at least a month, and just waiting for the Holy Spirit's go-ahead to cut it loose, right? And so I believe that it's going to minister to us today in many different ways. How many believe that today? That's who God is. His word is always timely. Amen? It's always timely. It will always take us from glory to glory if we listen, if we receive, and we move in it. Amen? So Luke chapter 4, let's go to verse 16. And this is Jesus. He's coming into Nazareth. This is his hometown. And Jesus is about to start his ministry. And he walks in, and this is what happens in verse 16. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, as was his custom, and he stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began by saying to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." And all spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. "Isn't this Joseph's son?" they asked. I'm going to pause for a minute because it's important to understand what's going on here in this moment. Because Jesus chooses this scroll is given to him, okay? So this was tradition. They were like, "Hey, you're going to read." And they give him a scroll, the whole scroll of Isaiah, and this is the scripture he picks. And this scripture in particular was held back, not supposed to be read publicly, only to be read by the Messiah, okay? Traditionally, this was a messianic, prophetic, messianic scripture. And it was only reserved to be read by the Messiah. This is the tradition. And so when Jesus shows up, they hand him Isaiah, he could have read a lot of things. And he chooses in his hometown. Now think about this for a minute, his hometown. This is where he grew up. Everybody in the room watched him grow up. They knew him when he was born. They knew his parents. They knew his upbringing. I mean, this is a small town. Anybody grow up in a small town? Yeah. I grew up here. Charity grew up in a small town. Everybody knows everything about everybody and everything, right? And so they watched him grow up. They also knew a lot about the coming of the Messiah. And there were things about Jesus' life that they could not ignore. I guarantee you, 100%, there's things they're like, huh. Have you ever seen something you're like, huh? You don't necessarily say something, you don't necessarily do something about it, but you're just like, huh. There was probably a lot of huhs growing up around Jesus, wouldn't you say? Because when a boy walks into the synagogue in Jerusalem and starts speaking like he's an adult, like he's been around for ages learning, something about that stands out to people. But in this moment, he does something that is bold, that is brash. He pulls out this scripture and reads like he is the Messiah. Then he says, today, this is fulfilled. And all of them are like, oh, wow, that's awesome, that's awesome. I don't know what's going through their head, right? I don't know. Some of them are like, yeah, that's awesome. Jesus is the Messiah. Maybe a lot of them thought, oh, cool, so the Messiah's here. I would probably say more people, that's probably what they thought. They're like, this guy, because a lot of people thought that Jesus had the spirit of Elijah. We'll get into that in a minute. And so they're like, oh, okay, so he's talking about somebody that's here or somebody that's come. And like, cool. But then he goes on like Jesus does. In verse 23, Jesus said to them, surely you will quote the proverb to me, physician, heal yourself. Do here in your hometown what we have heard that you did in Capernaum. So now he's saying, all right, I'm talking about myself, if you didn't know. And I'm sure you're going to ask me to perform some kind of miracle for you to prove this. Verse 24, but I tell you the truth, he continued, no prophet is accepted in his hometown. I assure you that there were many widows in Israel in Elijah's time, when the sky was shut for 3.5 years and there was a severe famine throughout the land. Yet Elijah was not sent to any of them, but to a widow in Zarephath in the region of Sidon. And there were many in Israel with leprosy in the time of Elisha the prophet, yet no one of them was cleansed, only Naaman the Syrian. Jesus just dropped a bomb, all right? He just dropped a bomb on everybody because he's just saying, you're going to ask for me because I just said I'm the Messiah to show you a miracle, but I can't. And you know why I can't? Because of you. Dropped a bomb. So everyone's tone changes, right? I mean, talk about escalating quickly. I mean, what a wild time to be alive. If you think the Wild Wild West was crazy, try Wild Wild Jerusalem, all right? Wild Wild Nazareth, all right? Verse 28, it says, all the people in the synagogue were furious when they heard this. And they got up, they drove him out of the town and took him to the brow of the hill on which the town was built in order to what? Throw him off a cliff. So it was really well received. But Jesus knew. He wasn't shocked by this. In one of these miraculous moments, it says, but he walked right through the crowd that empowered him to just walk through the crowd and no one even bothered. Something must have happened in that moment where everybody's like, oh no, what have we done? Or he walked with so much power, they could not mistake it. I don't know what was really going on in that moment, but I know this, Jesus' power was on full display. And so I preface all of this because it's important for us to understand what we're going to study today, which is in Isaiah 61, which was the scripture in which Jesus reads from. And the power of it, because when we read Isaiah 61, it's important that that promise is ours, okay? Isaiah 61, the promises that are in Isaiah 61, those are for us. Why? Because Jesus came. He is that. The promise has already come. Jesus came, he died on the cross, he rose again for us. And because of that, the promises that are there, the moment that he did that for us, it triggered the promises. Does that make sense? Which means that those promises have been in play for generations. They were in play for the disciples, for Paul, for legends that we read about, that we know about throughout history, and they are present for us today, right now, in this room. Every Christian that believes that Jesus Christ is their Lord and Savior, the redeeming power that is theirs, the faith in him, those promises are ours. So go ahead and turn to Isaiah chapter 61. And I almost forgot. I'm sorry. Pastor Mercedes sends her greetings to you. Says hi, her love to you. They're battling some stupid flu stuff, and so we'll pray for them in just a moment. But they send their love, and Pastor Deborah's on vacation. Hey, so isn't that good? Praise the Lord. So let's just take a moment. Let's just pray for our pastors. Lord, we just thank you for your safety and your covering over Pastor Deborah. We thank you for rest and relaxation over her and restoration, Lord, in her body, Lord. We thank you, God, for your healing power over Colin and Mercedes and Merritt, Lord. We thank you for your healing power over them. We thank you for the gift that they are to this house, all of them. We thank you for the leadership that they bring to us, the direction that you speak through them. And we acknowledge them, Lord, as the leaders of this house. And we just pray you bless them and strengthen them in the name of Jesus. If you agree with that, say amen. Amen. Let's get into this. Isaiah 61. So let's read this. It says, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me." So this is what Jesus read. So we know this is about Jesus, okay? "Because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion." Praise the Lord. Isn't that good? That's what Jesus... Didn't Jesus do that? I mean, you read about Jesus in the Gospels. That's what he did. That's exactly what he did. Man, he preached good news to the poor. And the poor is not just poor in money. It's poor in heart. Poor in their life. They were poor in so many different ways. Just like when we came to Jesus, when we came face to face, we were poor. We had nothing. Our hearts were broken. There was things in our life we had no clue what to do. We wanted more in life, but we didn't know how to get it. We didn't have anything to be able to buy it or purchase it. But when Jesus came, everything changed. Amen. It says he bound up the brokenhearted. That's good for somebody today. He bound it. Brokenheartedness was bound. You know, when you have a broken heart, but you have no possible end in sight, that's debilitating. When Jesus came, he brought hope. Because now I can put an end to my brokenheartedness because of what he did for me. Amen? Freedom for the captives. We were all captive. The power of sin and death, we were captive by that until Jesus came. Amen? And he broke those chains. And released from darkness prisoners. And I love this, proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. The day of the vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, provide for those who grieve in Zion. Praise the Lord. to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes. A crown of beauty instead of ashes. What are that? The ashes. You know, when people were mourning, what were they doing? They would put ashes on their forehead to let everybody know, I'm going through something. It could be a lot of different reasons, a lot of things going on in their life, but this was their way of publicly saying, I'm going through it. And I love this promise for us today because God said, no, you're not going through it anymore because I'm here. Here's a crown of beauty. Why don't you wear this? Why don't you let everybody that you see, every demon from hell, let them know that you wear a crown of beauty and let them know where it came from, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, that when you walk around, you aren't mourning anymore, that you walk around as a king's kid and the authority that comes with that. Beautiful. Trading your ashes for a crown of beauty. It says the oil of joy or the oil of gladness. And joy, it's a fruit of the Spirit, right? In Galatians 5:22, we read of the fruits of the Spirit. And joy is one of those things that we receive through a relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, you can have happiness without Jesus. And happiness comes and goes. Anybody ever been happy before? Yeah. That can change drastically in a moment, right? Anybody ever had a toddler before? Seen a toddler? We see this firsthand every day. Moment by moment sometimes. Very happy in the next minute. Whoa, what happened, right? Why? Because a toddler, they're trying to figure out their emotions, right? How to de-escalate their emotions, their feelings. And so with Rosie, we're teaching her and helping her understand that and how to handle that, how to lean on God, how to lean on the joy of the Lord. These are things you got to teach your kids, right? It's vital. It's important. I mean, as a kid that belongs to Jesus, we can help our children deal with their emotions way quicker with the Spirit of God than we can on our own. Amen? That was like a little side tangent. Sorry. But we get the picture of like a toddler. Whoa, mama. Super happy, super excited. Then like, boom, something happens, you know. A strawberry falls on the ground, and now we can't eat it. Hold on, baby, right? And happiness, that is happiness. You can be happy one moment, and you can be sad. But the joy of the Lord is forever. Amen. It's an everlasting fountain. Now, let that get into your spirit. Somebody needs that today. We'll just let that get into your spirit for a minute. The joy of the Lord, it is everlasting. It is everlasting. And you can't have joy without Jesus. You can't. You just can't. You can have happiness. And so a lot of people proclaim that they have, I've got joy. You don't. There's only one person that has that source, and that is God. And when you give your life to Jesus, new level unlocked. Joy unlocked. Why? It's one of the fruits of the Spirit. And the way that I think about joy and how that operates, because I think the fruits of the Spirit, if you read Galatians 5:22, the fruits of the Spirit, and understand who God is, there are layers to all of that. You can learn more how to put those things into practice in a deeper and a more profound way. And joy is important to understand. How does that work? Like, how do I get joy? Well, you get it because it's a free gift given to you by Jesus Christ, but you have to receive it. And how do you receive it? You get in his presence, And as you get a revelation over and over and over of who God is, you cannot help but have joy. When you get a revelation of Jesus's salvation power, that when he looks at you, he doesn't see all your filth, but he sees everything that he created you to be, that's a revelation of joy right there in your life. When you get a revelation of his love for you, that your very worst moment, the worst thing you've ever done, that moment, he loved you. Like he loves you right now. What? That's some joy. That's some joy. That's some joy. It says you have you have the oil of gladness or the oil of joy instead of mourning. Instead of mourning. And we're going to focus on this next one a lot today. But I love this, in a garment of praise. A garment of praise. Instead of a spirit of despair. There's a little car that rolled down. I was like, hey, been there, done that. But I love this, a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. You know, back when Jesus was rolling, you put on a sackcloth when you were mourning. That's what you put on. Sackcloth. Anybody ever see like a potato bag? I mean, talk about a lint factory, right? Can you imagine? You put on that, that is the most uncomfortable thing ever. Can you imagine wearing that? Have you ever done like a, yes, thank you. I cannot think of it. Potato sack race, you know? You take that thing off, it's all over you forever. Weeks later, you find these little particles, right? That's what people would wear. Again, it was signifying that they were mourning. And what has Jesus given us? A garment of praise. A garment of praise. And praise, yes. Praise, yes. All right, but I'm going to talk about the Hebrew here for a minute and the root of that. And if you're ever like, we're talking about Hebrew stuff. If you ever want to get into that, I'll just give you one really good resource that we use a lot, and it's Blue Letter Bible. And you can get the app. You can also go on blueletterbible.org, and you can look up a scripture, Isaiah 61, and on a verse you can click tools. In this cool drop-down, you'll get all these commentaries on the scripture, and then you can also hit this little button that says interlinear, and you can see that Greek or the Hebrew word. You can click on that. It'll take you to the Strong's reference to tell you what it means. It'll tell you all the times that it was used in different ways. It's used in the Old Testament to help you study if you want to go deeper, all right? And so I do not know Hebrew. That would be awesome, all right? I know a little Greek, but I do not know any Hebrew, okay? Hebrew is a wild language, all right? But we're going to look at this because it's important, okay? And so it comes from a root word, hallel, and that means to shine. Oh, I love it. Praise there literally means to shine. A garment of praise that makes you shine. Remember when David, they bring the ark of the Lord into Israel, and David sets up the procession, right? It's like the biggest parade the world had ever seen, all right? And he sets up all these people worshiping, and David's out front in his undies, okay, praising God. Dancing, being crazy for God. And his wife, Michal, it says, is in the palace looking out and despises what she sees. She's not even in the crowd. You think if the queen David's bride said, hey, could I be in the parade? David would be like, yeah, girl, let's go. Yeah, get in here. We'll do whatever. Yeah, you want flowers, you want whatever. Yeah, like I'll get you a new dress. I don't care what, I mean, I'm not wearing anything, but I mean, I'll do it. We'll do whatever you can be in it. Where is she? In the palace. To David, this is the greatest day in the world. And to her, just another day. Sitting in the palace. Bleh. Walks by the window, looks out. Ew! Calls up David. David, how could you? You look ridiculous. You're a king. You look ridiculous. How could you do this? And what does he say? I will become even more undignified than this because the God, the King of Kings, is the one that gave me this throne, not your dad. I'm sure she had nothing to say after that. I mean, like, because she knows. She lived it, right? That's a whole other message we could get into. I mean, like, there's so much there to unpack that's beautiful, all right? I mean, there's so much. She didn't even come down to the crowd, right? She's up in this high tower watching. There's so much, but we're not talking about that. But I want you to get this today because the word that David uses in that moment is kalel. So there's Hallel and there's kalel, all right? That word there, it comes again from the same root to shine. He's like, I will get so crazy for God that you will not be able to not see me. I love that. It's a kind of praise that doesn't care what the world thinks. Because you know what you know because of the salvation that you have received through Jesus Christ. And because of that, you're free to shine as bright, brighter, brighter, and no longer live in darkness. Before Jesus, we lived in darkness. It didn't show up every once in a while. It was always there. You couldn't escape it. You couldn't get away from it. But when Jesus comes, we can put on a garment of praise. And I heard Nancy Dufresne say this week on her podcast. She said, worry means you forgot God. I was like, how dare you say that? Worry means you forgot God. And I was like, how dare you say something like that? And I was like, that's so true. Because if you're worrying, it means that you forgot that God has it all under control. And you're worrying because you feel like it's out of control. And so many people, worry, anxiety, fear, you're choosing to put those things on. You know, you just look at that sackcloth. You know, worry is sackcloth. You're putting on this worry, this fear. You're more like, oh man, I just don't. And then we talk about it. We let the whole world know, like they used to do with sackcloth, right? We walk by, hey, how's your day going? Well, I'm just kind of like, you know, I'm just worried a lot about, I feel a lot of pressure right now. And we start telling everybody. And it's not wrong when you're talking to the right person, all right, to state a fact and follow it up with an affirmation of who your God is and going to be in your life, all right? Because it allows people to come in faith with where you're at and help you move forward, okay? But what a lot of us do is we just want to talk about it. We want to talk about it. We want to have a little pity party. And what is that? That's just walking around with sackcloth. And you have not chosen to put on the garment of praise. See, when you give your life to Jesus, salvation, it enters your life. Salvation from sin, from darkness, death, the devil, which means you can throw it off. You can throw off your sackcloth and you can put on the garment of praise. One thing that's important though, Jesus, he's given us the garment of praise, okay? But he can't put it on. He can't put it on us. We got to put it on. We got to choose to receive that. We got to choose to put that on. We got to choose to receive that identity. I think about Joseph when he walked around with the coat of many colors. He flaunted that thing, baby. And it made everybody super mad. Super mad. And some of us, we read that, I don't know about you, but I read that and I'm kind of like, Joseph, just dial it down a bit, right? But he was shining, baby. He was like, I'm dad's favorite, in your face. He does not think you're as cool as me. That's hilarious, right? I mean, as a little brother, right? But it's important to understand that garment of praise, what that means. Man, shine. You will look totally different. People will be like, what is wrong with you? What is happening? What is going on? People will say crazy things like, you are always positive. People will say funny things like, man, you just have good energy, right? You're like, yeah. They don't even know what they're saying, but they say they cannot. I have people all the time that tell me they cannot find a description of what's happening. So they start trying to figure something out. And so I get good energy a lot from people. And I love it because I'm like, that's Jesus. That's exactly what I tell people. And they're like, okay. It's like awkward silence. I've learned to embrace the awkward silence much more than I used to, because I used to like want to fill it in. So I just embrace the awkward silence and then just let the Holy Spirit do what the Holy Spirit's going to do. There's no need for me to fill my mouth with foolishness when the Holy Spirit can change everything in an instant, right? And so that's an open door to be able to bring the gospel into somebody's life like never before. And so, shine. Everywhere you go, shine. Shine, 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 shine. Be a difference maker. We'll come back to that at the end, don't worry. Maybe you weren't worried, you're like, okay. It goes on to say, they will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord, for the display of his splendor. Sounds familiar. There's just a lot of things that are echoed over and over again today in this scripture. And I love this. Just remember, when God plants, it will always grow to be strong. God does not plant things that grow up to be weak. He doesn't do it. He doesn't do it. It is impossible for him to do. And I do woodworking, I do carpentry. Oak's a good wood to use. It's really hard, it's dense, it's strong. It messes with your blades and makes them dull. It's hard to nail through and it creates havoc, but we use it all the time because it lasts forever. And oak trees, some of the oldest trees in the world are oak trees. They have stood, they have seen, and are still standing. Praise the Lord that that is what God calls us. He says, you're like an oak tree. And I love what it says, to display his splendor. You ever seen a beautiful tree, you get under it, what does it do? It adds to the whole area. It brings shade. It brings beauty. It's a place for birds to nest. Now you're sitting under a tree. There's beautiful songbirds. You're like, wow, this is awesome. For me, it creates a hobby someday. There's so many things that that you can bring to the world. For me, I just got to remind myself there's so much that I can bring to the world. I just got to get past myself and put on a garment of praise and shine, baby, shine. It goes on to say in verse 4, so this is our responsibility. This is when we hear, okay, we got to do something here, all right? We have to act. It says, they will rebuild the ancient ruins. Okay, so sound like some work? You? Does to me. I don't know. I've rebuilt stuff. Takes some time. You got to do some work. You can't just walk up to a job that needs rebuilding and just be like, all right, I'm going to start the clock now. Okay, punch in. Okay, cool. That's a really good way to get yelled at by my dad, right? Well, what do you got to get going. You got to get doing something. You got to start breaking some of the old and start putting some new stuff in. And the word ruins there is desolation that is specifically brought on by drought. Okay, we can just let that preach for a minute. Specifically brought on by drought. What did Jesus say? Come to me, all who are thirsty. He says to the woman at the well, I'm going to give you a water. You'll never thirst again. She's like, give me that water. I want that water. What does she go and do? She goes and tells everybody about that water. She must have sounded like a loon to everybody. They're like, there's no way. What are you talking about? Why? Because she tasted. She saw that the Lord was good. And it did something in her that she was like, yo, you got to get this. You have to try this. It will change your life. And why do I say that? If you're going to rebuild something that's been brought on by drought, you're going to have something that will quench that drought. And praise the Lord that we've got it. The Holy Spirit is that, rivers of living water. Amen? And it says, and restore the places long devastated. The word devastated there literally means to be stunned or to grow numb. It also preaches. Because we live in a world that's totally numb. Right? Culturally, there is so many people that have just grown so numb. There are things that should affect us right now in culture. People are just like, yeah, this is normal. What? Right. What? What? That is not normal right now. That is extremely abnormal. So I will tell you right now, when you start to shine, you'll also start putting some light on things that are like, oh man, that is not normal. And whenever you give people that are numb a glimpse of an alternative of the life that they have been living their whole life, you better believe they are going to be shaken to their core. When you live a life the same way your whole life, you grow up watching your family do the same thing your whole life, and you are given, you are told there is no way out. Don't get your hopes up. This is just how people are. This is just how the world works, all right? This is just how it is, all right? People are going to do this. They've always been doing this. Just deal with it. When you have been beaten down, when you have been broken down, you become what? A place long devastated. But God has called us to restore that, amen? And how do you do that? You give them a glimpse of the other side. Why? Because you're shining. You're shining. And what does that also look like on a very practical way? It looks like a lot of things, but one really great place to start is consistency. The people that you influence right now, because I am 100% guaranteeing you that you have people that you are influencing right now, they are watching you. And when you shine, they're looking to see when you don't shine. Because they want to prove their point that there's no way that that's true. And when you just prove them over and over and over again, it really starts to mess with them. And that consistency, that example that you set for people will begin to restore things. It will. We're seeing it right now. Praise the Lord, we're seeing it right now. We're seeing it all over right now. We're seeing it on college campuses. We're seeing young people that are tired. I'm like, no, I don't want that life. And they're starting to discover God for who God is. It's beautiful. And there's a lot of us that are like, whoa, hey, you can't do church like that. And they're like, what are you talking about? I love it. Embrace it. Embrace it. Okay. And it says, restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities. That word ruin, there it is again, a city in drought. That have been devastated. They use the same word again. Stunned and numbed for generations. Praise the Lord. We can all identify that this is happening right now, and God has literally given us the key to unlock it all. Praise the Lord. There are people, all of us right now, that we can think of people right now that are dealing with this. There's people in the room that are dealing with this right now. And I want you to know the key has already been given. We just have to receive it. Amen. In verse 5, strangers will shepherd your flocks. Foreigners will work your fields and vineyards. Praise the Lord. What does that mean? That while you're out doing what God has called you to do, he's taking care of your needs. He's taking care. I mean, what Pastor Mercedes was preaching, man, if you did not hear that message last week, you better go back and listen to that thing. That was on absolute fire from the Holy Spirit. God is taking care of your provision, of your need, while you are doing what he is telling you to do. Praise God. And you will be called priests of the Lord. You will be named ministers of our God. You will feed on the wealth of nations, and in their riches you will boast. Instead of your shame. Shame here means the shame of making something else God in your life. This is kind of a wild word here. But instead of shame, and the shame specifically is the shame that comes when you make something else God in your life. All of us before Jesus, we were making other things God in our life. And that's where shame comes from. When you do something wrong, what do you feel? You feel bad. If you're not careful, you'll have so much shame that you'll go right back to it. Is that the weirdest thing? It's like, what is happening? Why? Because that thing that you do, you make it more important. You make it a God in your life, and you go to it, and you run to it. And there's shame involved in that. Because we are all created by who? By God. To commune with God, to praise him, to worship him. And when we deviate from that, there is something in our system that cannot handle it. And shame is the product of that. And I love the scripture because it says, instead of your shame, what? A double portion. A double portion. Double portion of what? Man, I was like racking my head about this. Like, double portion. It doesn't say what. It just says a double portion. I love the Bible. It says he knew you before you were even in your mom's womb. He knit you together before you were ever in your mother's womb. He put things inside of you. He has great plans for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you. Plans for a great future with a great hope. That's who God created you to be. And the beautiful thing is, that's who you are. Irregardless of your decision for Jesus Christ. What? Think about that. When we talked about joy, that should give you some joy. That's phenomenal. That he chose to do all of those things, knowing that we would still have choice to make. And there would be times that we would turn our backs on him, but he would still be there. But what happens when you give your life to Jesus and the Holy Spirit comes upon you? I love Pastor Jimmy would always say, he put your super on your natural. Double portion, baby. Super on your natural. Because when you give your life to Jesus, you surrender to him. He says, all this stuff, I'm going to start to unlock it. Next level, next level, next level, next level. You thought you were good before. I'm going to show you how good it can be. You thought you were really awesome at this, but I'm going to show you how awesome you can be at it, all right? Before you were good, all right? But now you are great. In fact, you are so supernatural right now because I am working through you. That's a double portion. Because shame wants to get you down. It wants to tell you that you're not good enough. It wants to tell you that you can't do it. It wants to even tell you that you cannot do it. And it tries to take away everything that God has even put inside of you. Your God-given abilities. Shame wants to tear it away. Piece by piece. All the time. Trying to take it away from people. Take it away. Until you're nothing. And you got nothing. And I love God because he says, oh, no, 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 no. When you choose me, I don't even see it. I can't even recollect all that stuff. All I see is everything that I created you to be. And he puts a super on our natural. I love that. And instead of disgrace, that's also confusion. Disgrace and confusion, you will rejoice in your inheritance. Amen. And to me that speaks, because that word used for disgrace, I know I said it, but it means confusion. When you do not know who you are, there's so much confusion. But when you know whose you are, there's no confusion. I love Paul in Galatians. He says that when I gave my life to Jesus, I became a new creation. It's beautiful. A new creation. It's not I that live, but now Christ that lives in me, he says. That's powerful for us today. Because if you've ever dealt with your identity, your self-image, and you're trying to do it on your own, you're going to fail every time. But I love this scripture because it reminds us, if you focus on the inheritance that you have been given by God, confusion leaves. You may be like, well, how do I do that? How do I focus on that? You remember who you are. You're a king's kid. In fact, there's a phenomenal book. I'm going to screw up. Somebody can tell me. Living like a king's. How to live like a king's kid. Thank you. How to Live Like a King's Kid. Phenomenal book. If you're struggling with confusion of self-image, identity, who you are, read that book, because it's going to help identify, if you're a king's kid, all the inheritance that belongs to you because of that. Rosabella, she runs around here. Now, it's part of her personality, but she grew up in this church, right? She's growing up in this church. She's our child, and so she grows up, and she walks around with a little bit of swagger. You know what I mean? Now, again, some of that's her personality. Some of that's because Her parents are pastors at this church. She feels comfortable. If you come over to our house, you're going to get the same kind of swagger. Be like, come on, let me show you around. Let me show you room. Grammy and Papa came over yesterday. She's like, come on, let me show you my rooms. Right? And she starts pulling them in, and she's super excited about it. She's super excited about her space, about who she's excited about what she's drawn, what she's colored. She's excited about what she walks. Sometimes she walks in the room, she's like, hi, I'm beautiful. Yeah, you are. I love that when she says that. Why? Because we've told her over and over again, you're beautiful. You're beautiful, just like your mom's beautiful. I tell her that all the time. Over and over again. You could not tell her, like, I really believe that if you said, hey, you're just not that beautiful, she would be like, you are crazy. Let me do one more twist around. All right, say that to me again, to my face. The Holy Spirit wants to speak in this moment, okay? And so we're going to take a moment to camp here for a minute. Because we have to understand who we belong to. Where we find our identity is, it's vital. And I've struggled with my identity for a lot of my life, my self-image. And there are people all the time, they're like, there's no way, you, no way, no way. Just because I'm an outgoing person doesn't mean that I don't struggle with that. And the moment that it changed was the moment that I realized that I am a king's kid. It doesn't matter that I don't act like, look like, preach like, minister like, do this, that, like someone else. If I don't do it like them, that's a good thing. And what I thought my whole life was like, I'm going to try to replicate the people that I look up to. Now, some of that's really great. I wanted to replicate some of their incredible qualities, but then I tried to replicate everything, and if I couldn't do it just like they were doing it, I felt like I completely screwed up. There's no way that I could ever be like that. And I allowed Satan to mess with me over and over, and shame and shame and confusion and confusion and confusion. And the moment that it just changed with me was just embracing the fact that I'm a king's kid. I'm a king's kid. And the inheritance that God has given me is different than Corey. Praise the Lord. And his inheritance is different than mine. Praise the Lord. It's specific to him as it's specific to me. Nick's inheritance is specific to him. Praise the Lord. It's exactly what he needs. Everything that he needs. It has different colors. All right? It has different pieces. Praise the Lord. It's different. And here I am trying to take someone else's inheritance, trying to walk it, and it just didn't feel right. You ever put on pants that are two sizes too small? Yeah, because it's impossible. You're like, whoop. I've been there, brother. Stop trying to fit into someone else's inheritance. All right. God's got an inheritance specific for you. It includes all the promises of God, but there's specific things he's doing just for you. Why? Because that's the God that we serve. I mean, think about that for a minute. That'll keep you up at night. He's got things. Pieces that are just for you. And Those pieces he didn't give to Brandon. He reserved them just for you. He reserved things just for me too, so don't worry, I'm good. But praise the Lord. Some of you just need to embrace that for a minute. God reserved things just for me. God reserves things just for me that he didn't for anyone else. Praise the Lord. And so you will inherit a double portion in your land. And here it is, everlasting joy will be yours. There it is again. For I, the Lord, love justice, I hate robbery and wrongdoing. In my faithfulness, I will reward my people and make an everlasting covenant with them. What is that covenant? When Jesus died on the cross, rose again, new covenant of grace was made. Their descendants will be known among the nations, their offspring among the peoples. All who see them will acknowledge that they are people the Lord has blessed. I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation. They will, and arrayed me in a robe of his righteousness, as a bridegroom adorns his head like a priest. For as the soil makes the sprout come up, and a garden causes seeds to grow, so the sovereign Lord will make righteousness and praise spring up before all nations. Hallelujah. Amen. This last part, verse 11, this has been prophetically spoken over our congregation through multiple people at different times in the last month and a half, probably a couple months. People have gotten pictures, or the Holy Spirit has spoken to them of freshness, of things being planted and growing, and the beauty that that brings. You know, when one of the words was when a flower sprouts and blooms, it offers much more than just beauty, but a beautiful aroma, pollination, life. And this has been spoken over prophetically over our church by multiple people at different times, and a lot of you maybe don't even know, but it's spoken to me, Pastor Charity, Pastor Mercedes, Pastor Deborah. God is doing something new that is fresh in our church. He has been doing it. I want you to hear that today. He has been doing it. Y'all know what I'm talking about, all right? I don't even have to explain. Y'all know what I'm talking about because he's doing it in you, okay? And if you're like, I don't know if I've sensed that, what's yours? It's totally yours to receive today. For as the soil makes the sprout come up and a garden causes seeds to grow, when you plant a seed, it's going to sprout. It's going to come up. If you take care of it, it's going to come up. It's going to sprout. It's going to grow. And God is saying, just like that promise is true, the sovereign Lord will make righteousness and praise spring up before all the nations. And so I go back to the garment of praise for us. We've got to put the garment of praise on. We got to put that on. And today, you cannot leave it here. I mean, you can, but don't leave it here. Don't leave your garment of praise at the door. Don't put it up on a hat rack and be like, I'll see you next week. You know? Like, take it, put it on, and take it with you everywhere you go. I believe that Jesus, when he was talking about a lukewarm Christian, is something just like that. That we put on our garment of praise when we walk into the building, but then we leave it when we leave. God has called us to shine all the time. And this scripture, this is not, is talking about when we gather. It is talking about when we gather, but it is talking about as a nation under God. Not just America when I said that, but as a nation, as a church, as the people, everywhere we go. Praises. What does it say? The sovereign Lord will make righteousness and praise spring up before the nations. Spring up before the nations. And when it springs up, what will it bring? It will bring beauty. It will bring a beautiful aroma. It will bring life everywhere it goes. And it will look different. It will sound different. It will be shocking to people. People will be like, what is happening? And people are like, that is weird. But like, they won't be able to stop thinking about it. And they're going to be drawn to it. So don't put your garment of praise at the door. We're going to play a song in just a minute that we can just worship to. It's called Garment of Praise. If you've been going to prayer and intercessory on Thursday mornings, you've heard this song. It's slightly old school. I love it. It's by a guy named Martin Smith. If you grew up in the 90s, the band Delirious. Hey. He was a lead singer. I was a Delirious fan, so yeah. He created this whole album after all of the 2020 stuff, all on the joy of the Lord. 10 songs on the joy of the Lord. It's awesome. And he wrote this song, Garment of Praise, and it's amazing. It's an amazing song. And I want to share it with you today because I want to be reminded over and over again to put on our garment of praise. Charity can attest. I sing it all the time. Put on a garment of praise. The joy of the Lord is my strength. It carries me all of my days. I love this song. And I would just, as we worship to it, as we praise to it, just allow, you maybe have never heard of it, maybe you have, but I specifically just encourage you, allow the Holy Spirit to let it get into your spirit. Does that make sense? Let it get in, and make sure that before you leave today, if you want it, put the garment of praise on and never look back. Did you hear me today? Never, ever look back. Never look back. All right, Aurora, can we...
Thanks again for joining us for the Liberty Church Podcast. If you have prayer requests, you can always email those prayer requests at prayer@libertyofomaha.com, and we'd love to hear your praise reports. Email those at amen@libertyofomaha.com. For more information on Liberty Church, visit us at libertyofomaha.com. Thanks so much for joining us, and have a great day.